The good people of Trenton deserve way better representation. Four members of the council are breaking the law. That's our daily situation. We don't need these people at the top who are only out for themselves. If the people of Trenton won't act now, our town will be a living hell. Let's focus only on the positives here at Trenton Waves. Can we ask you all to describe your dream city today? My dream Trenton would be without Kathy McBride and Robin Vaughn, without Santiago Rodriguez and Sonia Wilkins, that's for sure. We won't let them ever defeat us. Your Trenton Waves with Frank and Christina.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, books, education, talent, events, art of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Okay, see, I'm not going to miss the cue this time. I came in right away, whereas before, I missed the cue because I got caught up with that song.
I know. Get really into it.
It's that time again.
Yes, it is.
Podcastia. We have yet another candidate running for West Ward Council this time. But before we do that, before we introduce her.
Yes. She's cool.
Are we keeping you up?
Yawning. I thought you were coughing. You're yawning.
Annette Lateague is back, people. She's yawning and stretching. You want to lay down for a little while, sweetheart? Good Lord. I'm trying to do a professional show here. And
we're not visual.
Are you okay? You're awake now?
Yes. Nobody would have ever known had you not said anything.
I turned to her and she's stretching and yawning.
But we're not visual. I was going to cough because you said, don't cough in the mic.
Okay, why don't you cough and get it over with? Just cough. Good Lord. We're normally a lot more professional. Actually, we're not.
No, we're not.
No. This is it. This is about it.
This is who we are.
All right, podcast here. Annette Lateague is back. And I'll tell you, I like going through this because it means a lot. Mm-hmm. I get a lot out of this. Mm-hmm. We've learned so far three major things we never knew before.
Right.
We learned about how much power the clerk has, the city clerk.
Right.
We learned about zero-based budgeting. We learned about how all spending goes through council. I don't know what she's going to hit us with today, but I'll tell you what.
I'm always learning something.
I know. I'm looking forward to it. Annette Lateague, former West Ward Councilwoman for the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Welcome back.
Hi, Frank. It's good to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So you want a nugget?
I want a nugget, baby. Come on. Lay it on us. Come on. Let's go. What is it? Go.
No council member should ever meet with a contractor alone. All meetings should take place at City Hall with the appropriate people, including the clerk, present.
And why is that?
Obvious reasons.
Well, let me tell you. Things are not that obvious. That should be obvious.
Side deals.
Backroom deals.
Inappropriate agreements. And it doesn't allow for transparency.
Now, doesn't that go against the whole advocacy thing that you were talking about and partnership and liaisoning?
No, you can liaison right at the table with the clerk and the economic development director as well as other council members.
So everything's out in the open? No.
You want to be transparent.
Right.
You want to erase all opportunity and room for doubt about any transactions that you might be a part of.
Okay.
Even if it is all innocent and honest, it doesn't
keep it at the table.
Right, exactly.
All right, so if you're a council person and you know someone who does development work or whatever, you can invite them in and do a presentation for council? Can you do that?
You can invite them, absolutely.
Okay.
You can, and you should share that. We talked about liaisoning, communicating. Communicating is not just talking, it's listening too. And so the opportunity presents, for example, Italia has the opportunity to bring you in before council. And have the discussion as long as it's advertised.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Never, ever meet with developers alone.
Right.
Because if a developer gets caught up in a sting, you don't know what they might say or do.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
That's right.
And
right.
People have been known to wear wires.
Oh, okay.
And I'm going to leave that alone.
Okay.
Ooh, oh, boy. Okay.
Wasn't me.
This is already getting a little hot in here. We are going to get into it now.
Okay.
Okay, Podcastia, we have with us today Miss Atalia Armstrong, who's running for the West Ward Council seat, the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Atalia, how are you today?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're absolutely welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for coming.
You have 10 uninterrupted minutes to explain to Podcastia your platform.
Okay, so I'm Atalia Armstrong.
Whoa. You know, let me tell you something.
Wow.
These candidates are way out of control.
They jump right in there.
It's like, I have a clock for you. Like, give me a second.
10 minutes. I'm trying to hurry up and get it out.
All right, listen. You're all. She's like on it.
She's ready.
All right, here we go. You got 10 minutes on the clock. You start talking when that clock starts. Sound good?
Okay.
All right, Atalia, the time is yours.
Okay, so I'm Atalia Armstrong, born, raised, married, and reared 3 children here in the city of Trenton. My passion for advocacy started 26 years ago with the birth of my first daughter. That's when I realized I had to get involved, raise my voice, and use my abilities to better my community. In the capacity of community advocate, my advocacy is deeply rooted in equity, equality, and justice for all. It spans political, social, and economic spectrums through protest, demonstration, and lecture. In addition to my baccalaureate degree and pursuance of an associate's degree in criminal justice, I have successfully organized and lobbied on both the nation's Capitol and the New Jersey State House, lobbying for issues around voting rights, criminal justice reform, reparations, Medicare for all, student loan forgiveness, and more. I also lobby for the preservation of historical narratives and structures to include the preservation and restoration of the Higbee School and the Carver Center, both located here in the city of Trenton. Moreover, I currently serve as chair for Trenton Historic Development Collaborative. I am chief steward for Local 2285 ASME, an at-large member of the NAACP, and a graduate of the Trenton Police Citizens Academy. I also produce Trenton's local call to action for reparations for African-American people, which I currently advocate. My platform is just this. I'm in the community and I'm already doing the work. I want to focus on restoring professionalism to the seat because I feel like we lost it. I want us to utilize and maintain our existing infrastructure. Of course, economic advancement and community development, and the absolute number one is provide access to local government. All of these issues require radical change. I believe in the words advocate and legislate, and as a current advocate and activist, I will do just that.
Whoa.
Wow.
That was like a microwave platform.
That was good.
She nuked that.
She doesn't need to mince any words. That's it.
I got to say, you know what I love right before the candidate starts talking?
What?
Like Annette looks over at me and she takes her hands and goes, lower the mics. Like, I know what I'm doing.
I was wondering.
Good Lord. Every time.
Don't agree with him about anything.
That is the truth and you know it. Okay.
All right. Let's pass that over.
Annette, what do you think of this one?
I think that Atalia got right to the point.
Yeah.
When you've been doing the work, you understand the issues, and you have a plan, it's real easy. Doesn't take a lot. And so, Atalia, that was pretty good. You had 10 minutes, and you did it in 4.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty cool to be able to talk about what you've done, what you believe in. Tell me a little bit about what you think your role would be on city council.
So I think the role of city council people is to, of course, adopt an approved budget, give advice and consent, and they have investigatory powers. Also serving as the health board and the alcoholic beverage control board. That's the role of city council. They are the checks and balances of our local government.
How do you feel about working with people you disagree with?
It's no different than going to my 9-to-5. I'm employed at Mercer County Board of Social Services. So I work with a variety of people. It's not about whether I like you or not. It's about getting the job done. We don't have to be friends. And I've once heard that there are no friends in politics anyway. So you want to just focus on the goal at hand and make it happen. And that's what I do every day, Monday through Friday. So it's no different.
That's interesting because there are no friends in politics. So
that's what I heard.
Politics, don't believe everything. But politics, and that's important because you'll hear a lot of stuff. People make up a lot of stuff during political season. And 99.9% of it isn't true. So I would suggest that anybody everywhere do their own homework at all times. That's critical to your success in engaging in politics. But there is a saying that the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah.
Don't lose that message. That's important. That's important. So there you have it. Simple and to the point. what city council is all about. There'll be times when you'll be called to investigate. You are the ABC board, but you're not the director.
Right.
You're not the mayor.
Right.
Do you understand the separation of power where that's concerned?
Absolutely. I think the job in the nutshell is to advocate and legislate. That's my motto. And legislate from a perspective that keeps the interests of Trentonians at the forefront.
How long have you been out in the community doing stuff? And who have you
26
met?
26, 27 years. I'm 44 years old.
I wasn't going to ask that because Frank
I just turned 44.
He's been doing something for 20 years, and then he told me he was 32, and the math didn't add up.
The math wasn't mathing?
It wasn't mathing, so I don't know.
It wasn't his strong point.
Right.
Yeah, I started when I was 12.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
Right? So you've been working and doing this advocacy thing for how many years?
I started with the birth of my first daughter. She's 27 years old, and I started out in education. Because once she started school, I had to make sure that she had everything she needed. And it just went from there. I've been involved in a variety of projects. I've sat on a couple boards already. My advocacy now is really mostly about political, economic, and social justice.
And social justice is a big piece. That's a huge piece.
Especially here in the city of Trenton.
There's a whole lot to that. And so that might be another podcast for another time. But so... you understand your role as the council person. You've been in the community for years working because, you know, typically what happens when people are running, you know, they want to run for office, they just show up.
Mm-hmm.
Like the previous candidate that was here, mm-hmm. she's been in the community forever.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, working.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes a huge difference because people know you.
So right. I gave you guys a pictorial of just like some of the stuff that I've done. Is by no means everything. I just wanted to include some of the things. Like, for instance, I did the bus trip to Washington, D.C. I was really proud of that because I feel we have to expose our children to things outside of the city of Trenton in order to correct some of the social norms that we have here in the city of Trenton. And in order to do that is to expose them mm-hmm. to different things.
Mm-hmm.
When COVID first hit, I personally had masks made and distributed them to not all of West Trenton, but those who were in my immediate area. Of course, I've rallied on the state house for various issues. I've even gone to Washington, D.C. on various issues. My advocacy ranges the gamut.
So you've learned how to liaison.
Pretty much.
Pretty much. Tell me about that structural deficit the city has. Are you aware of that?
The same old thing where the state needs to pay their fair share and we don't have the money that we should have in order to make our city function properly. We're structurally deficit. However, it's been my experience with being in the community that people understand that. So this is why I don't come on podcasts or do interviews and promise that I'm going to fix crime or promise that I'm going to make sure that the economic deficit gets fixed while I'm in office or something like right. that. Because it's going to take time. It's going to take partnerships. It's going to take collaboration. It's going to take a myriad of things. However, what the people specifically in West Trenton want is to have their landscape beautified. They don't want potholes in the road. They want lighting. Like, so at night it's very dark. It's like simple things. They want the grass cut. They don't want people to be speeding through our neighborhoods. Simple things that I think we can do right now. I have been working on some of those issues. I get phone calls almost every day from people in the city of Trenton, and I connect them to the resources or put them in contact with the people who can help them. And I've made great progress thus far.
What constitutes the West Ward?
Some parts is from the river all the way to what used to be known as North Trenton. We still consider it North Trenton, but it's been redistricted to Donnelly Homes.
Okay.
That would be the total space of mm-hmm. West Trenton.
Hmm. Okay.
I'd like to hear a little bit about your YouTube channel, Politics and Tea.
Yeah.
What is that all about?
Well, it's just a way where I can get my work out there, show the people what I've been doing specifically during this campaign. And I've been doing a lot of work. And it's really for me about reconnecting and restoring right now.
Okay.
A lot of what we're talking about across the board when mm-hmm. we're having these conversations and we're right. talking about economic advancement or community development or anything like that.
Right.
If we do not restore relationships with the people. All of this is for naught.
Right.
This is why voter apathy is such a huge thing here. The people feel like they are not listened to. They're not heard. They don't feel like they get their issues met. And one of the biggest gripes, and this is across the board, from those who live in the more affluent section of Trenton to those who are in the thick of it, they all say people only come around every 4 years to get a vote from them.
You're exactly right.
And so because of that theme, I committed to being in the community. So I've been campaigning for well over a year, trying to show that I am what I say. So every month I meet with the seniors. I've shown my face in the communities where most people will not go. I play ball with these children. I sit and I talk to them, whatever it takes to restore some type of hope within them.
I have a video of her playing hopscotch for anybody who wants it. Get really? Popcorn first, though.
What, are you stalking the candidates now with your video camera?
The video of me playing basketball, though, was like, I thought I was doing a thing, but the people out there was like, okay, that's cute, but you don't, you don't know how to play.
Come on. I'm like,
okay.
I know you've already said you've been active in the community for 26 years. What made you decide I'm going to take this step to run for office?
Because I advocate on all levels, I think I can make a greater impact inside than outside.
Okay.
So that's why I want to run for office, and that's why I'm running for office. I'm in the community and I'm doing the work.
You're in the community and you're doing the work. What are you most concerned about? You're advocating everywhere.
Yeah.
What concerns you? If you had to choose a baby to rock, what would you rock?
Homeownership. That's huge in West Trenton. So I've already spoken about this on tons of my videos that I put out. What I would like to see happen is renters be transitioned into homeowners. And the mayor recently, at the mayoral forum that happened 2 weeks ago, I guess now, he spoke of something similar where he would utilize the funds within the vacant property fund to rebuild the 271 properties. And then kind of like he used the word gift, but, you know, he said it's an application process. And of course, it'll be formalized and all that good stuff. But that is an initiative that I would absolutely advocate and get behind because I think that that will help stabilize our tax base.
So similar to maybe homesteading, which we talked about.
Similar. Yeah.
Which I always thought was a great idea way back in the day. When other people were running years ago.
The difference, though, is from what I heard the mayor say, is they would do the bulk of the work. So it's not like they're giving, you know, someone's getting this home and then they have to figure out how they're going to get it up to code or whatever. So the city would bring the home up to code and then they would go through this application process and put them, you know, transition them into the home.
Great would that be?
That would be amazing. I think it's awesome.
Yeah, that would be amazing.
Because we just had this conversation about absentee landlords. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's such an issue in your ward. In our ward, we're in the South Ward, it is. Mm-hmm. And we're landlords. And I've said this before. It's like my approach to being a landlord is I want to create a space for someone to come home to and feel like, oh, wow, this is nice. And I'm home. It's lovely. It's pretty. It's clean. It looks nice when I pull up in my car. And I drive around and go, how do you come home to that every day and not want to just cry? Mm-hmm. It's like, how can you let someone live in your home that you own that looks like that? I just don't. It breaks my heart.
They don't care.
They don't care.
I know, clearly.
But I feel like we could always use programs, especially when it comes to children. People have submitted tons and tons of ideas. We have plans up the wazoo, all of this good stuff. So now it's just really time to just get the work done at the end of the day.
I agree. Yes. Yeah, because I think we have a lot of great ideas. Like the residents really come forward with, and then it just doesn't, we have a lot of ideas.
We have a lot of ideas, and we also have an enforcement issue here. Mm-hmm. Mainly because I think that we don't have enough employees to do the work here in the city. That's our biggest downfall. We don't enforce our own local laws at the end of the day. And I say all the time, if you just look at our neighboring towns, it's not that they don't have, we may have a bit more, you know, more crime. Maybe. I haven't done the numbers recently. But they have crime. They have some of the same issues that we have. Right. Ewing, Lawrence, Hamilton.
Right.
But they set a tone. It's a tone where some things are just not going to be tolerated when you're driving in your car. If you do not have current insurance and registration, they're pulling you over, they're taking your car, and maybe you're getting arrested. Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they're taking you. Exactly.
Right. So right. It's a tone right. that needs to be set of no tolerance.
Yep.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes.
So you
yes.
did the police academy.
I did. And for somebody like me, that was really, really good for me to do because I speak advocate a lot. Mm-hmm. So I was glad that I could get in there and see it from their perspective, mm-hmm. which was great. So I do promote that. I feel like our residents should, if they have the opportunity, I think they just finished a class. Mm-hmm. They should take that class next year when it comes up because it gives you a different perspective of what the police have to deal with and mm-hmm. all of the issues and how things move in that right. department.
I feel like when you're dealing with the police, as a resident, it's usually a situation where you're like, why aren't they here? And what about it? And why don't they do this?
Mm-hmm. But or if, why did they do this?
Or that, right. Mm-hmm. And so you need to almost say, well, there's this procedure, that procedure, or our hands are tied in this way, or blah, blah, blah. It gives you a different, like you said, a different perspective of what's going on their side of the story. Right. Yeah. It says that you're involved with the preservation and restoration of the Higbee School and the Carver Center, which are both located in Trenton. I have never heard of either.
Really?
No.
So the Higbee School was the first school built in the city of Trenton to educate African-American children.
Wow.
Yeah, in 1857.
And that's not promoted or like I...
Well, I thought that I guess my reach is not that reachable.
No, but this is good. I'm glad to hear about it because What are you doing as far as restoring? It's the actual building?
It's the actual building. And you should like drive by and see it. It's on 20 Bellevue Avenue.
Okay.
It's in great shape considering it's been there for so many years. And then right across the street is the Carver Center, mm-hmm. Which it was just like a good meeting place where African-American people could gather and handle their business. Because here in the city of Trenton, there was a time when those things didn't exist. And mm-hmm. so they had to create their own space to have gatherings and meetings and all of that good stuff.
That's so cool. I actually think that that would be an awesome thing to promote in the city as a tourism thing, a cultural right. thing. I mean, right. this is would bring people to the city to see part of the history. The history of Trenton is not just George Washington crossing the Delaware, and which is awesome also, but there's so much more.
Absolutely.
And that would be so cool.
That would make a great tour.
Yes.
So we've done tours because that entire area it's not classified as a historic district, but it should be mm-hmm. because it's a historic district. Henry J. Austin lived on Bellevue Avenue.
Oh, wow.
A plethora of people who contributed to the city of Trenton lived in that area, African-American people. Mm-hmm. So my goal is to preserve as much of that history, both the narrative and the structure as mm-hmm. possible.
That would be amazing.
And include that into like when people come here to see the Trent House or
the barracks.
Yeah, anything mm-hmm. like that. Add the Higbee yes. and the Carver onto that list. And not only just those are the two that I'm currently right. working on, but that entire area is full of African American history. And I am a traveler. I haven't been able to travel a lot lately, but I travel. And so there are worse areas where museums are located and people travel to see these things, mm-hmm. even though the area doesn't look that great. You know, where the Higbee and the Carver sit, it's decent. And mm-hmm. I feel like we should be promoting that.
Oh, my God. Yes. And the fact that I've been in the city for 20 years and I've not even I saw that, I'm like, oh, what's that?
I will set up a tour for you.
Oh, I would love it. Wow. I would love it. Hmm. And maybe at another time mm-hmm. we can actually have you on and talk about specifically what that. You're doing. That would be awesome. Yeah.
Well, we're already booking for future episodes.
Because again, this is things that for me, I'm so interested in, and I think the city has dropped the ball in promoting all these gems.
That's right.
Not just history, but culture, architecture, art itself.
That's right.
It's just there's
our
so much here.
Alone. That's right. In the
yeah.
city.
Yes.
That's right.
We have some of the best structures in the state in terms of housing stock.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. You can actually live.
Beautiful.
You can homes. Live in one of these buildings. Yeah. Yes.
Okay. Why should I vote for you?
I'm already doing the work. You don't have to look for me. I'm accessible and I'm visible and I'm already doing the work of the people because I'm the people's advocate.
She is concise. which I
like.
Yeah,
she really is. I feel like this whole episode is like 10 minutes.
Words. Right, right. Just say it and
so you're an advocate. But yes. Give me a little bit more.
Right now, we are struggling to keep St. Francis in our city. We already lost Mercer Hospital. Capitol Health in Hopewell is quite a trek for those who live here in the city of Trenton. And the Staples is a hospital, a grocery store, a school. We need those things. And so the people, we're now putting all the pressure on to, I call it Hellingful, but I think it's all Capitol Health now.
It's Capitol Health.
Now, yeah.
Full campus.
Yeah. Putting all the pressure on that one particular location. I think one of my biggest disappointments with the St. Francis situation is the community was brought in at the ninth hour. And this just plays into the distrust that the people have in our quote unquote leadership. Because the hospital is a staple and something that we need, that is something that should have been screamed from the mountaintops from those who knew that this may be a possibility to prepare the community to either activate or accept whatever is coming. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the greatest disappointments. And so I'm advocating for it to stay. We need it.
Unbeknownst to many people, September 19th was the deadline for written commentary regarding the sale from Trinity to Capitol Health.
Mm-hmm.
So that deadline has passed for the reading, but it is mandatory that the community be involved. And for the sake of argument, if this hospital was to leave, I think the most important thing is to advocate for services, the cardiac services.
I thought that the cardiac service would stay.
Not for good.
What I was under that impression that that would stay, which would be great because it's top notch and we need something like that here to stay. Yes, services is an issue, but we need hospitals in our community just like we need schools and grocery stores. It's right. A staple. It's what makes a community. Yes, right.
Absolutely.
So, we need to have access for just plain old health. What if you hurt yourself and you need to get to a hospital like yesterday? And you have to travel all the way to Hopewell for that to happen?
That's crazy.
No, that is insane. Mm-hmm. However, moving forward, being realistic, a plan to ensure services to our community is what's mandatory. And I think as we move forward in trying to stop this from happening, we should also have a plan to ensure that we're getting the services that we need.
Okay, and absolutely. While also utilizing the existing infrastructure that we already have, because we have the building that's across from Mercer Hospital that could be used to provide some of the services that will be leaving St. Francis Hospital.
Okay.
From what I'm told, St. Francis' building is not up to par. So we should be looking to utilize other buildings in the city to provide those services that we'll be leaving.
And that's the thing I think is most important as you speak to your advocacy. So you said something that nobody else has talked about, the building across the street.
Mm-hmm.
There are structures around that can be used to ensure that we don't lose everything in the event this sale happens. I'm not sure it will. I don't know if it will or it won't, but in the event that it happens, we have to have a plan moving forward. It's also an opportunity to utilize a piece of St. Francis. There's also a school there. Mm-hmm. So one of the things that Al Magsy talked about in wanting this sale is the opportunity to train for the future, because 2030 is supposed to be a drastic cut and reduction in nursing staff and staff that services the hospital for lack of planning.
Wow.
But it's happening right now.
Yeah. It's going to be devastating based on those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. It's happening right now. And see, we have to start talking about that. That's what the plan is about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what some of the advocacy that you've been doing is about.
Yes. And if I could just say this quickly, because I know we're running out of time. As I said at the top of the hour, that is one of the major concerns of the residents here in the city of Trenton. They want their issues dealt with. They want their needs met. They want to know that they are being heard and listened to. And this St. Francis debacle is one of the reasons why we lose confidence in our leadership.
Mm.
Because I'd rather be proactive than reactive. And even if we cannot save it, at least the community was aware. And we can't keep bringing the community in at the ninth hour saying, please help save this, when we could have been working with this 2-3 years ago.
And that's interesting because from what I'm reading, I'm going myself going back to read because I know what happened with Mercer. I was on council when that happened. And this is not a new conversation. I'm a little baffled even when speaking to some of the media who has reached out. The board knew. The staff there knew that there was some whispers. My last shout out is why I should vote for you. But I also want people to stop watching and whispering and do something. Thank you, Italia.
Thank you so much for coming.
Well, there you have it, Podcastia. That's our time today on this episode. But stay tuned. We have more candidates coming. And don't forget, we have that really, really big show with Bill Gurney.
Can I be there that day?
No, you can't be there that day because you already came on. So now you're off our list. We're wrapping up right now. This has been yet another episode of Trenton Waves. In the fabulous words of Mr. Mike Tyson, everybody's got a plan
until they get punched in the face. Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.